get Matt Lodi on the line. We're going to talk with him about the Cleveland Indians. They're out there in beautiful Arizona. Wish we were there right now, even though the weather's not too bad today. Matt, how you doing?
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing good. I wanted to talk a little Indians, obviously. First round of cuts came down the other day. I don't think there was anything major or anything of crazy news. Or is there anything that stood out to you at all, Matt?
No, not really. I mean, the guys that got sent down to AAA, I wasn't really necessarily surprised at. Mike Clevenger, you know, he's going to be at the major league level throughout parts of the season with this pitching staff. I don't think there's any question about it. But, you know, certainly a young kid who needs some seasoning. And I was glad that, you know, he got a little taste of the major league level a year ago. And as I said, you will see him up here at various points throughout 2016. So, no real big surprises, if you will. With that first round of cuts or of reassignments, if you will, I certainly think that as we continue to move along with this process in spring training, though, there are going to have to be some decisions that are made, especially now today with the decision to bring in Marlon Byrd, the former Red and Giant from a year ago, who I think is going to have an opportunity, really, Brad, to compete in the outfield, because I think this is a veteran player and the type of player who might be able to come in and fill the void should Michael Brantley miss some extended time, even though he appears to be on a very, very fast track to be playing again.
Right. I didn't get to see the game, but I seen where the Indians had posted something. I think it was on Instagram or Twitter, whatever it may have been, whatever social media platform it was, of Brantley out there in an inter-squad game, I think is what it looked like to me, taking a cut and running down to first base. I think it was an out, but regardless, just to see him on the field playing in live action, it's obviously a good sign. It's good to see. I know a lot of folks were thinking maybe as late as early June, mid-May, April, late April. The time frame is really kind of varied because I know the Indians were apprehensive to put a timetable on it, but it looks as though all things are pointing in the right direction for the health of Michael Brantley, which is a huge upside for this Cleveland Indians team that's going to need help on the offensive side. You mentioned Marlon Byrd. He's going to be in the mix against guys like Tyler Naquin, who's having a really good spring right now. I think he's hitting .417. Talk a little bit about this young man. And do you see him making that roster now that they made the move? Because, I mean, they've been trying to bring in a couple guys when they signed Venable, too. It really makes me wonder if they want to get him up there or if they're just trying to find somebody that can hold the spot until he's really ready or seasoned the way they want him to be.
Well, the thing with Tyler Naquin is the fact that he's been able to contribute, you know, even though it is spring training and certainly he's not going up against guys like David Price, or Justin Verlander or guys like that right now, or Max Scherzer. But I think the important thing with Naquin is just to get his confidence level up. I do see him making this roster. He can play a variety of positions. He has really proven to, right now, at least to this coaching staff, that he's made some pretty good strides. I can see him making this roster as maybe a fourth or fifth outfielder, but, you know, we talked so much earlier on about how many outfielders they brought in to kind of fill the void for Michael Brantley, and they're going to have some tough decisions to make. Guys like Colin Cowgill, guys like Marlon Byrd, who they said today, Will Venable, who they brought in. I don't really know right now how many guys they're going to be affording to keep on this roster, because to me, if you look at it, they're really going to be packed right now as far as this outfield is concerned. But I do think as far as Taylor Naquin is concerned, they've been impressed with his defense. They've been impressed with his poise. I see him making the roster. I just don't know how much playing time at the end of the day he's going to get, because I do think Brantley's on the fast track to get back up to the major league level. It's a good problem to have, though, Brad, as you know, because you can never have too many quality players
an opportunity.
And not just saying, you know what, no matter what, we're going to go with a veteran guy. Why not give this young man an opportunity? He may be a diamond in the rough that maybe can come through and play when they need it, and it will also be a situation where they're not going to have to force Brantley back. I know the last time we spoke, my biggest concern, per se, with this roster is counting on Michael Brantley to be there at the early part of May. I really think I want to see him have an adequate amount of time to come overcome this injury and get enough playing time in rehab in minor league, so that way when he comes back to the major league level, it's not a situation where he's up, down, and up, down, because he's got to struggle just to play every day.
Right, you want to have him at 100%. We don't want to have him regress or backstep as it pertains to his health, that's for sure. Tyler Naquin, we kind of want to stick with him for a second. Matt, is there something to be said for bringing up a younger guy? Maybe, I don't want to say before he's ready, but he's right there. I think he's at that level where you're not sure. And I'm going to use Francisco Lindor as a example, even though he's so good, he might be the exception to the rule here. But, you know, we didn't get to see him at the beginning of last year. They were hesitant. And then when it got a little bit later on, they finally brought him up, and he was able to do some really good things. Could Tyler be the guy that they come in here, like you said, be a diamond in the rough and get in that seat? Might as well throw him out there and let's see what the kid's got. Hopefully it doesn't, you know, derail him as far as confidence, but I'd like to see what he can do.
Well, as you know, Brad, every player is different. I think if we sit there and we pretend that every player is going to be Francisco Lindor,
right,
it's just not going to happen. I mean, he's obviously a special player who's been incredibly gifted. He had a tremendous second half of the year last year at the major league level. You know, and I've said this before about Francisco Lindor. You know, and Terry Francona said the same thing. To expect him to go out and duplicate the type of season he had in 2015 is really probably putting too much pressure on him. I'd just like to see Francisco mature as a player. Of course, I'd love to go out and hit 330 and drive in 50, 60, 80 runs and steal bases. But getting back to your original question about Tyler, you know, again, at the major league level, you don't know when the pressure's on, how young people are going to contribute, how young kids are going to produce. What I think they want to see, though, out of Tyler is, again, that consistency. Show up every day at the park, continue to get better, continue to do construction. Don't let the game get bigger than it is. And I think that's the one thing with Lindor that Terry Francona pointed out time after time last year, is he never let the game get ahead of him, which I think is a key as a young player, because you know how it is. You go into an environment where, you know, you go from, you know, Motel 6 to the Hilton,
right,
and it is a difference. It is definitely – I've talked to enough minor league players and covering this team now for 22 seasons where, you know, they come up to the major league level and it's a different ball game. It might not be different in its balls and strikes, hit the baseball and you catch the baseball, but it's different in the environment. And I think there's something to be said about that, where you've got to get young players, you've got to give them a little leeway to produce and a little leeway to make mistakes sometimes. I think Tyler, though, the one thing that's in the Indians' advantage is, A, he's already seen some time at the major league level, and B, so far so good in minor league, or I shouldn't say in minor league, but in spring training action, he's shown that he can do it. And I think that's going to be interesting to see where this team really looks at him as far as a long-term answer. Because, you know, right now you've got, Rajah Davis, you've got obviously Lonnie Chisenhall, and on a daily basis you're probably going to see guys like Brantley, Davis, and Chisenhall as your three outfielders. But, you know, where does Tyler come into the mix? And can the Indians count on him when it's going to be pressure situations in the, you know, latter half of the game, sixth, seventh, eighth, and ninth innings, when the game is on the line and you've got to come up with a big hit, maybe a big bunt, maybe a sacrifice? Can he make contact with the ball, or is he going to kind of get a little, let again, as I said earlier with Francisco, let the game get ahead of him? That's the big question about him early on.
Yeah, it would be nice if all our prospects were in the same light or same ilk of Francisco or Lindor, I'm sure. You know, it'll be interesting to see what this young man can do. We'll leave it at that, and maybe he'll make this roster. Francisco Lindor, sticking with him, though. I know there was an article the other day I read, and I'm not sure, I can't quote who wrote it, but they were talking about Francisco and the amount of bunts that he laid down. And he's not selfish in the fact that, you know, if there's a guy on base, he's not scared to put down a bunt, you know, sacrifice his on-base percentage to get a guy to move over to put somebody in scoring position. But there's got to be kind of a balance there. He had a ton of them last year, and Terry likes the fact that he's not selfish and he wants to move the ball, and how important it is to play a little small ball at sometimes to get some runs across the plate, because simply didn't have enough of them last year. But is there a fine line? Do you want to see that? Is it too much? Where do you stand with him bunting when there's guys on?
Well, you mentioned the word unselfish, and I can't tell you how impressed I've been with just that about Francisco Lindor. You know, we were on the phone with him the night that he came in second as far as the American League Rookie of the Year went, and you know, a lot of guys, it is basically human nature to come on the line with reporters and say, you know, I'm disappointed, but, you know, and just to kind of feel their energy be down. But this kid is never like that. He's always up. He's always excited. He was happy just to be involved in the process last year. And like I said, the maturity of this young man, where he stands right now, is just, it's off the charts. And, you know, the question about bunting, I don't have a problem with it. I think if there's one thing about this Indians organization that's kind of been flawed the last two, 3 years with Terry Francona, is the ability to get runners on, you know, from A to B when they need to, whether it's early in the games, whether it's the middle of the games, whether it's in the seventh or eighth innings. There's always been that sort of flaw to where this team just can't seem to get a bunt down. And, you know, hey, if it's up to Francisco Lindor in order to have to do that late in games this year, I have absolutely no problem with it. I think the thing you don't want to see, though, is you don't want to see them having to take the bat out of his hand way too often, because he did come through last year with such a tremendous season as a young man. Mm-hmm. You want to see him be able to swing the bat. But on the other hand, when the game is on the line, if this team needs it in the ninth inning, if they get a runner on, if the game is tied and they need to move him from A to B, I don't think it's a problem having him bunt. I don't think you're going to see it every night. Don't get me wrong. I think it's going to be a situation, though, where when the game is in progress and they need a guy to be able to get a bunt down, it is a good thing to be able to have a kid like Lindor be able to do it.
Yeah, he can do it with amazing skill. I think a lot of it will come down to feel. If he feels he can, you know, pull one against the certain pitcher, maybe he's getting the pitches he likes from that guy. A lot of it's going to dictate gameplay, situational things like that. But it's a good situation to have when you got a good young player like Francisco Lindor. Matt Lodi joining us, NEO Sports Insider, talking Tribe here. Got a couple more before we let you run, Matt. Question about the that fifth starter. A lot of guys there in the mix. Anderson, House, Bauer. How do you see the bottom of that pitching rotation working itself out?
Well, the guy they trust, I think, more than anybody is Josh Tomlin. He's been there at the major league level. He's been successful at the major league level. And let's be honest, the fifth starter is a situation where you don't need to have it every single night. You don't need to have it every single series. It's a situation where if it's there and the guy can come out and throw 6-7 innings, more power to you. But if he just can go out there and not give up 7-8 runs and mess up your entire rotation for the rest of the week or two, that's going to be the key. Cody Anderson's getting off to a bit rough start, if you will, okay, so far in spring training. I don't necessarily know. I haven't read enough about what's going on in Arizona with him mechanically or if it's just a little bit of jitters. This kid had a tremendous season last year. I think he was 7-3 and just pitched the ball really, really well. T.J. House coming off the injury, I think he's going to land in the bullpen. I think Tomlin's got the inside track. I really do. I think they, like I said earlier, they trust him. You know, again, this isn't a position that they're going to need every 5 days. It's probably something where, you know, if Josh can come out in that first month of the season, especially in the first month of the season, to be perfectly honest, though, because you have so many off days, you can manipulate your rotation to where you don't need that fifth starter every single, you know, every single time and turn in the rotation. You don't need him every single time. And I think for Josh Tomlin, though, you know, he had the surgery. You know, he's still a control pitcher. He's never going to strike out 12 in a game. He's not Randy Johnson or Roger Clemens. This is a guy who could go out there, give you 4 or 5, maybe 6 innings on good night, maybe give up a run or two. You know, the big thing about Josh, too, is, you know, he's veteran presence. And, you know, he's a guy that this organization has liked. They gave him the contract extension at the start of the spring to show that they've got confidence in him going out there when they need him in a pinch. And I think he's going to win the fifth starting job right now for the Indians.
I certainly like Tomlin. I like Anderson a lot, too, though, man. That's a big old hoss, ain't he? He's like 6'4", 230 pounds. That's a big dude behind the mound.
He looks like a football player. He really does. He's a big kid. The one thing about Cody Anderson, again, it's his second year. You know, are players starting to see more tape on this young kid? Are they starting to see what he's like out there on the mound? You know, it's real easy when you've never seen a pitcher for that guy to come out and have a good game just because you don't know what he's going to be able to do. But now that they're starting to see Cody Anderson a little bit more, I'm interested to see how he makes adjustments because now hitters are going to start making adjustments against them. I have no doubt that Cody Anderson has got all the talent and ability in the world to be able to go out there and be successful at the major league level. He did it last year, but now it's about maintaining because he did it for a short span last year, had tremendous games. I believe it was one against Tampa. I remember a start of, I believe, late in the year against Baltimore. He was really good. Now it's a question of can he do it, you know, every 4, every 5 days if given the opportunity, or is it smart to maybe put him in AAA and let him get a little more seasoning? Because you know how it is, Brad. They're always going to need 6, 7, sometimes 8 pitchers. And the Indians, unfortunately, with injuries, are one of those teams that seems to always need a pitcher when, you know, always need at least 6 or 7 pitchers. And that's why you've seen this team over the years get veteran guys. I remember being in Arizona a couple ago, they brought in Daisuke Matsuzaka. You know, you always see these names that they go out and get. You're going, why are they bringing that guy in? Well, they're bringing him in because you know that throughout the course of a season, a starter may be tired, maybe need a start off, be an injury, or matchups even, you know. But for the most part, I think this rotation's pretty set. It's going to be Kluber, Carrasco, Salazar, and Bauer. And that fifth guy, I think at least to start the season, is going to get announced as Josh Tomlin. And then what they do from there really is just up to how this thing starts early in the year.
We'll see how the rotation breaks down, what the roster look like when they break spring training out in Arizona. I know, Matt, that you probably feel the same way as I do, and we can't wait for April 4th against Boston, home opener up in Cleveland. One more just for fun here, Matt, before we let you go. All right. Fictional ball player from a movie that you'd like to see the Indians go out and sign that could get them over the hump and provide some offensive power. Who's it going to be?
I don't think there's any question if they could get Roy Hobbs from The Natural. He's the guy because he can hit the ball into the light. You know, I don't think there's any question about it.
They don't want to replace lights, though. They don't have the money to be replacing lights left and right up there, Matt. Come on.
Listen, if Roy Hobbs would break some lights at Progressive Field, I think the Dolans would ante up and bring him in. I don't think it'd be and replace those lights. I don't think there's any question about it. I don't honestly, Brad, I don't remember from the movie if he was a righty or a lefty, but you know what? The Cavs got enough power. The Indians still, I think in my mind, need runs. They need a power bat. I would love to see a guy like Roy Hobbs be at the major league level with the Cleveland Indians. And one of the great movie soundtracks, too, by the way, if you ever hear it. I love that. Love that soundtrack. That movie, one of the great baseball movies of all time.
He was on my short list, Matt. I will tell you that on my short list. But my number one guy, I got to go with Benny the Jet Rodriguez from Sandlot.
Oh, from Sandlot. Sure, yeah. Another speedster. But see, I still think they need a power guy. So I'll go with Roy Hobbs.
All right, Matt Lodi from NEO Sports Insider. Great stuff as always, Matt. Enjoy talking baseball with you. We'll catch up with you down the road, all right?
You got it, my friend.